In this body, there is another, a transcendental enjoyer, who is the Lord, the supreme proprietor, who exists as the overseer and permitter, and who is known as the super soul. Responsibly, please repeat. Yet in this body, there is another.
There is another,
a transcendental enjoyer,
who is the Lord,
the supreme proprietor,
who exists as the overseer,
and permitter,
and
who is known as the super soul, purport by Srila Prabhupada. It is stated here that the super soul, who is always with the individual soul, is the representation of the Supreme Lord. He is not an ordinary living entity. Because the monist philosophers take the knower of the body to be one, they think that there is no difference between the super soul and the individual soul. To clarify this, the Lord says that he is represented as the Paramatma in every body. He is different from the individual soul. He is para, or transcendental. The individual soul enjoys the activities of a particular field, but the super soul is present not as finite enjoyer, nor as one taking part in bodily activities, but as the witness, overseer, permitter, and supreme enjoyer. His name is Paramatma, not Atma. And he is transcendental. It is distinctly clear that the Atma and the Paramatma are different. The super soul, the Paramatma, has legs and hands everywhere, but the individual soul does not. And because the Paramatma is the Supreme Lord, he is present within to sanction the individual soul's desiring material enjoyment. Without the sanction of the Supreme Soul, the individual soul cannot do anything. The individual is bhukta, or the sustained. And the Lord is bhokta, or the maintainer. There are innumerable living entities, and he is staying in them as a friend. The fact is that every individual living entity is eternally part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, and both of them are very intimately related as friends. But the living entity has the tendency to reject the sanction of the Supreme Lord and act independently in an attempt to dominate nature. And because he has this tendency, he's called the marginal energy of the Supreme Lord. The living entity can be situated either in the material energy or in the spiritual energy. As long as he is conditioned by the material energy, the Supreme Lord, as his friend, the super soul, stays with him just to get him to return to the spiritual energy. The Lord is always eager to take him back to the spiritual energy, but due to his minute independence, the individual entity is continually rejecting the association of spiritual light. This misuse of independence is the cause of his material strife in the conditioned nature. The Lord, therefore, is always giving instruction from within and from without. From without, he gives instructions, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita. And from within, he tries to convince the living entity that his activities in the material field are not conducive to real happiness. Just give it up and turn your faith toward me, then you will be happy, he says. Thus, the intelligent person who places his faith in the Paramatma, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, begins to advance toward a blissful, eternal life of knowledge. Upadrashtanu manta cha bharta bhokta maheshwara paramatmeti chapyukto dehesmin purusha puraha. Yet in this body there is another, a transcendental enjoyer who is the Lord, the Supreme Proprietor, who exists as the overseer and permitter, and who is known as the Supersoul. As we discussed earlier, the Supreme Lord, Swayam Sri Krishna, has no work to be done. In fact, Vrindavanam Paritya Japadam Ekam Nagachati. He doesn't go outside of Vrindavanam. Why should he? He's engaged with unlimited numbers of goddesses of fortune and loving pastimes. Why should he come to this miserable material world? Nevertheless, he is compassionate towards the fallen conditioned souls who represent an infinitesimal number of the total number of conditioned souls. In other words, those who have disobeyed the Lord are of a very small number. Still, Krishna cares. Therefore, he expands himself and he sends his representative. First of all, he expands himself as Karana, Karana Dakshai Vishnu. And he, in his giant form as Karana Dakshai Vishnu, he lies down in the Karanadak ocean, and from the pores in his body, from the pores in our body comes sweat or perspiration. From the pores of his body, so many universes come out. You've seen the picture on Srimad Bhagavatam, or the painting. If it were a picture, it would be nice, but it's a painting. of so many bubbles, looks like bubbles coming out from the pores of his body. So each bubble is a universe, and the universe fills up. Well, actually, the Lord expands himself as Garbhodakshai Vishnu inside of each universe. And from his perspiration, the bubble fills up, and then he lies down on the Garbhodak ocean. And from his navel, Lord, the lotus flower is sprouted, and Lord Brahma is born atop that lotus flower. Then the same Garbhodakshai Vishnu expands himself as Paramatma. And he is situated within the heart of every living entity. And that means all of the 8,400,000 species. So Krishna definitely cares for us, and he makes every effort to call us back to the spiritual world. He makes every effort to enlighten us by constantly guiding us. Whether we pay attention to that guidance or not is up to us. But Krishna makes the effort. A relationship is a two-way street. Not a one-way street. You have to reciprocate the feelings. If someone shows a lot of affection towards another person, but that person is simply ice cold, then how can a relationship develop? It's not possible. So therefore, Krishna takes, practically he takes the first step. Although we do have to show some interest, but still in a general way, Krishna takes the first step, even though we have forgotten him. He provides us with so much facility. Even you can take it that the miseries of this material world are for our benefit. Like a father, a loving father, will sometimes take his child upon his knee and give the child a spank. The child, the father doesn't hate his child, but he knows the child has done something wrong, and out of love the father corrects him. So Krishna has designed the material world in such a way that it is not possible for us to be happy here. Dukhalayam ashaspatam, part of the aggregate which Krishna describes as knowledge, is to recognize janma mrityu jara vyadi dukha doshanu darshanam. Birth, death, old age and disease, you can't be happy here. If you could escape old age, and people do try, if you could never get sick, people try for that also, if you didn't have to die, everybody's trying for that, then maybe you could be happy. But probably not, because even if you could live here eternally, everything is so boring and dull. You get, I mean, how many times can you read the newspaper? How many times can you read Time magazine? How many times can you, you know, how many new kinds of cars can they invent before they all become the same? How many varieties of music can they give you? You know, we've had Lawrence Welk and Frank Sinatra, and, you know, then we had Elvis Presley, and then the Beatles, and, you know, then the Rolling Kidney Stones. Kidney Stones are eternal, not the Rolling Stones, right? And then we had, you know, the, I don't know who came next because I joined ISKCON, but maybe Sting and Stung and Stang and the Police. I don't know who was there, but, you know, then we got punk and then, you know, I don't know what came next. I mean, it really got... But, I mean, they're just doing the same thing all over and over again, because there's only so many things they can do to ruin music. And, you know, you'd get bored over here in this material world. We don't even have good designers. We're building a temple for Mayapur, and the architects, they say, look, this temple is impossible for us to design properly. We can't even design the pyramids. What have you got? You know, a big triangle, you know, and what's so difficult about that? But they can't figure out the proportions. The engineering of the pyramids is so complex that today's engineers and architects could never do it. They don't know how to get the stones up there, what to speak of how to design it in such a way that the stones don't all fall down. They don't know how to get them up there in the first place. So the fact is that as we get deeper and deeper into Kali Yuga, we lose all our capacity. The material world is deteriorating constantly. We may not realize it, but not only in the Vedas, but even in the Bible, it explains that 5,000 years ago, Moses lived for 1,000 years. It's not just in our scripture. Other scriptures also give the same description. And in Dwapar Yug, people lived 10,000 years. And in Satya Yug, they lived for 100,000 years. And if we can live 100 years, you know, you're really considered to be something special. They put you on a pedestal. And, you know, we've got 10 of them, octogenarians in our country, and they're really wonderful. And, you know, but formerly, 100,000, no, that's not very old. Man, we all live, you know. It wasn't such a big deal. So things are deteriorating. And what, you know, when you've got a world where every, you know, instead of talking with a voice choked up with mucus and, you know, sounding like a frog and, you know, if you can go to a world where, you know, you sound like Pavarotti or, I don't know, every word is this, what's his name? This opera singer? Is it Pavarotti? Okay. Where every word is a song. That would sound kind of funny. But anyway, very melodious song. I can't, you know, it actually, you can understand something if you visit some of the temples in India and you hear the pundits and Brahmins there chanting mantras. Or even if you, nowadays, even if you just go to Mayapur and hear Bhakti Vidya Purna Maharaj and the Gurukula kids chanting mantras, you get really, you know, warmed up. It's very, very beautiful. And Sanskrit is such a beautiful language. And then if you, you know, someone like Ravi Shankar or something like that, you know, he's been doing that for the last 10 lifetimes, you know. And he's probably going to continue for the next 5 or 10. Maybe not. You know, I think he's done a few good turns for ISKCON, but took George Harrison away. That wasn't a very good turn. But they're so much better than what we have here in this material world. If you really look at it practically, old age, disease, and death, all the miseries, you wouldn't want to stay here. So Krishna is giving us an opportunity to change our position, to elevate ourselves, so much so that really all we have to do is listen up. All we have to do is try to hear the message that is all around us. We have so many gurus in nature, in our heart, super soul is there, and the scriptures are there, and, you know, you really have to be serious about avoiding spiritual life to get away. Lord Chaitanya, he and his associates, they used to agitate their minds day and night. Lord Chaitanya thought that I've designed a process which can capture everyone, but what am I going to do about the Mayavadis? You know, they're so stone-hearted that they just may escape my mercy, and I don't want that to happen. Lord Chaitanya is here to take us all back home. And if we just show a little sincerity and recognize Krishna's supreme position and agree to follow his instructions, agree to take dictation from him, then there's no difficulty and there's no danger If you listen to the dictates of your own mind, Uttam Bhakti is described as that point when you stop looking for sense gratification through fruit of activities and through mental speculation. This is called Anukul Bhakti, favorable devotional service. When you have material desires, that is Pratikul or Karma Mishra Bhakti. It's mixed and it will get mixed results. It's not favorable to the development of pure love. But when you try to follow the Vaishnavas, you try to follow the spiritual master, you try to follow the scriptures, and you look within your own heart. Krishna's direct representative, the spiritual master, is said to be the external representative of Super Soul. So the point is that Super Soul is first and foremost. God is there within your heart. And you're actually being trained for, you're being trained to hear Krishna within your own heart. You're being trained to discriminate between your mind, which has been attached to the objects of the senses and is accustomed to that way of life, and the distinct sound vibration of Super Soul. So it's a question of meditation. It's a question of concentration. When you want to discriminate one thing from another, you have to pay attention. So our meditation on the deities, our practice of japa, our absorption in work for Krishna, these are all activities which will please Krishna by their nature. We're following his instructions so we're pleasing him, but they're also helping you to contact or to establish a link with Krishna within your heart, so that wherever you go in the universe, Krishna will always be there with you. Even in the most disturbed of conditions, you won't be disturbed. Even in the most hellish situation, you will be peaceful. You'll be free from anxiety. You'll be equanimical. Your mind will be neither attracted nor repulsed. Attraction and repulsion for sense objects, that is the cause of our bondage. But for one who's relishing the pleasure within, who's enjoying within, who's established in the self, he's fixed up his relationship with Krishna. Therefore, Lord Brahma, he says, Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena Santas Sadaiva Hridayeshu Vilokayanti Yam Shama Sundaramachincha Gunaswarupam Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. The devotee whose eyes are anointed with the salve of love, he can see the Lord within himself. He can see Paramatma. He can hear Paramatma, and Vedanti tat tat vidas tat tam yajnanam adyam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavaniti shabdite. Paramatma is on the way to Krishna, on the way to Swayam Bhagavan. When you take instruction from Super Soul, then your activities become fixed up in pure devotional service. There's no longer any doubt in your mind or in your heart. Then you become qualified to receive love of God. You cannot create love of God by any amount of material manipulation, by any amount of regulation. It's not like you people, there's a saying that if you chant the Gayatri Mantra 1 million times or something, I forget how many times it is, a very large number of times, if you chant the Gayatri Mantra, then you will get liberation. Or if you chant this mantra so many times, you'll get this result. But Krishna may award liberation, he may award material benefit, he may award so many things to the living beings, but he very rarely awards the priceless jewel of love, Krishna Prema. That a benediction, it comes when Krishna is sufficiently satisfied. And you know how Krishna tells when you're ready for Krishna Prema? You know what his barometer is? He relies upon an indication from Radharani, Bhakti Devi, Srimati Radharani. She is the one who sees whether you are qualified to associate with her beloved Krishna. So you have to please Radharani. You have to impress Radharani that you are completely surrendered. You have no inhibition. There's no blockage. You're simply spontaneously attracted to Krishna, and there won't be any mix-up. There won't be any mistake. There won't be any rasa-basa, you know, that you get halfway through a relationship with Krishna and then you spring some surprise. Maybe I better think this over again, you know. I had some good options in the material world. And no, you got to be completely finished. Bridges burned, that's it. So, how will you achieve that kind of faith? That is described here in the purport. Prabhupada says that your faith will be fixed up. Just give it up and turn your faith toward me, then you will be happy. This is what Super Soul is saying. So, Krishna is not very far away. We don't have to look very far. Right there within our heart. And if you try, one way or the other, you have to go through Krishna. That's the interesting thing. Even if you want to, in your mind, remain aloof, that's all you're doing. Don't kid yourself. All you're doing is mentally remaining aloof. Because Krishna is the overseer, Anumanta Upadrashta, overseer and permitter, even if you have some desire and a plan to enjoy something in the material world, have a big house and a car and a bank account and a family and this and that, even if you have so many plans, but you won't get any of it unless Krishna sanctions it. Karmana daiva netrena, by superior authorities and ultimately by the topmost authority. Everything is sanctioned. Even in a practical way, you can't get anything done in business. You can't get anything done in material development, even in a city like Zagreb or even in a country like America. You have to go through so many authorities, and until you get their sanction, it's practical. You can't get anything done. One of my friends, who happens to be one of the wealthiest Indians in the world, he says, you know, and his money is in dollars. He made his money in the Middle East and in the United Kingdom. He says, I will never do business in India, because to do anything you have to give some donation for the guy's puja fund. That's what they call it. In other words, you have to give a bribe to every Ashoka, Lok, and Prakash, every Tom, Dick, and Harry. You have to give some little bakshis. So, you know, he said it's sickening. But in another way, it's there everywhere. All the miseries, all the anomalies, all the bad qualities of the human being are there all over the world. Nobody can claim to, you know, any monopoly over bad qualities in Kali Yuga. I mean, everybody's practically like a jungle animal. You go in the jungle and you see, you know, we were talking today about, in our ecstatic discussion, we were talking about how some people, you know, eat other people. Even today it happens, believe it or not. So we were, you know, oh, that's disgusting. It's terrible, you know. But then I pointed out that everywhere you go in the world, right here in Yugoslavia, let's talk about even recently or a few years ago, what kind of atrocities were committed by seemingly normal people. And you can go anywhere, just go a little far north to Austria or to Germany, and let's talk about Auschwitz and this one and that one, and then you go a little farther north to Russia, and let's talk about the pogroms and you know, Lenin, Stalin. Let's talk about America, where under the guise of respectability, apartheid, how do you call it? Apartheid is going on. Do something. You're bound to commit sinful activities along the way and just get more and more entangled. Krishna will advise you not to do it, but you're not hearing him. So he'll say, okay, go ahead. I'm advising you not to do this, but if you're so determined, okay, go for it. And he doesn't want you to do it, but you're so foolish, you go ahead and do it, and then you get the result, and then you say, why did you allow me to do that? You know, you blame it on God. But it's really, the whole thing is up to us. So this chapter deals with nature, the enjoyer, and consciousness. So the super soul is another enjoyer within our body. There's the individual soul, who's the immediate enjoyer, but the Bhoktarama, the supreme enjoyer, is Lord Krishna. And if we can try, just like in a family, in a proper family, the father is the bhokta. He's the supreme enjoyer, and the other members of the family work together to serve the father. But in a healthy relationship, all the family members enjoy equally. It's just a question of acknowledging the position of the father. So the same way, until we acknowledge that we're meant to serve Krishna, until we acknowledge that he's the supreme enjoyer, we're not going to get our share. We're not going, even our share will not give us the satisfaction we want, even if we get it. Even if our plans for enjoyment succeed somehow or other, but it won't give you the satisfaction that comes from serving God.
people often find more pleasure in serving someone else. People who are very, very wealthy, they often end up doing welfare work or philanthropy, and they enjoy that. They spend their money on so many different kinds of charity, just like Bill Gates. What's he got? $28 billion, mostly on paper, but still, he's got a little cash too. And, he's got an $18 million home, or $25 million home, something, state of the art, everything. The doormat, when he steps on the doormat, it says, "Welcome home, Bill." And everything there has got a computer behind it. And, maybe for the first few weeks he's, in ecstasy, but how long can it last? So finally he has said that he wants to give all of his money away. That's why I'm trying to get an appointment with him. If anybody has any contacts here, please see me after the lecture. But he said that he wants to give all his money away to charity. And he even said that he's not going to leave it to his wife. I'm sure she'll get something. A few billion here and there. But this is the situation. Working for someone else is actually more pleasurable than trying to just, gratify your own senses unlimitedly. So Krishna as Super Soul, it's not arrogance. He's calling us, just surrender to me, because he is the Supreme. He's situated in every body, and he has complete control. He also expands himself as Paramatma within every atom. So he's everywhere, he's everything, and you can't get beyond him. You can't find a place where Super Soul is not there. Sometimes you want to get away from your relatives and your business associates and just get away. People buy islands so they can go with their wife or their girlfriend just to be on the island, just so we can get away and have a little enjoyment and peace of mind. But you can't get away from Super Soul, because he's in every little grain of sand on your big island. So it's better just to accept his presence as your well-wisher and, just surrender to him. And he is guiding you, but you'll be able to appreciate his instruction, and you'll confirm it with your spiritual master, you'll confirm it with the scripture. Everything will line up. One devotee was telling me how devotee was a very, very important devotee, now that I think of it, very, very senior devotee. And he was telling me how a certain thing happened to him in his life. He was a devotee, and he was trying to see how he should work in his position of responsibility. And he was fighting it, and he had problems deciding in his mind. Everything was very difficult. And then all of a sudden, one day, he had a realization, a very deep realization. He had a dream of Prabhupada, and he also was followed by a very deep realization and some other signs, and he just surrendered to that. He saw that that was the answer. And the moment he accepted, every plan that he had, every person who was connected with that plan, everything he wanted to do, all the questions were answered. And everything began to fall into place. Click, click, click. And then he, you know, even to this day, he's, you know, doing very wonderful and dynamic things. And he says it's like a whole load has been taken off my mind. A whole huge, heavy load has been taken off my back. Because I realize that I'm simply the executor of Super Soul's will. I'm simply, like when someone dies and they leave a will, they appoint an executor. The executor doesn't have to make decisions. He simply has to execute the orders in the will. So much go to the family, so much goes to charity, the house is sold off here, the other assets. He simply has to execute it. So if we can simply stop trying to take the burden on ourselves and let Super Soul guide us and perform our devotional service in that way, we'll get great, great relief. And the plan will be shown. The things will make great sense. So, Krishna is Paramatma, and we are Jeevatma. So, we are conscious, and he is conscious, but he is the supreme consciousness, Nityo Nityanam, Chaitanas. Chaitananam. He is Chaitanam. He is the supreme Chaitana. And we are Chaitananam. We are the many individual conscious beings. So we can never understand Krishna. We can never understand completely our situation in the material world. People, they think that self-realization means to try to figure out their personality. I thought like that one time. I thought that self-realization meant to psych out myself and figure out why I did this and why I did that and what my tendency was in this way and what kind of people are good for me to relate to and what type of people are, you know. It was just a big mental game. That's not self-realization. That's simply material realization. Leave that to the psychologists. Self-realization means to understand that you are the insignificant, tiny servant of Krishna. Jivar Swarup Hoy Nitya Krishna Das. Eternally, the tiny, tiny servant of Krishna. And you shouldn't fight that, but you should just go with Krishna's flow. Just put yourself in Krishna's jet stream. Jet stream. How many auto racers are here this evening? Where's Ganzo? Is he here? No. A jet stream is when you have a very fast car, there's a pocket of air behind it. It's behind the car, just by the bumper area, there's a kind of vacuum because the air is flowing over and around it, so that there's different pressure. So if you want to pass that car, you don't even have to drive as faster than him. You drive up close to him, behind him, and you get into that, what they call jet stream, and when you pull out, you get sucked out right around him. You fly right around him because of the change in air pressure. So if you just get into Krishna's jet stream and go with him, he'll carry you along all the way back to Godhead, but you've got to agree to surrender. To the degree that you have capacity, you can understand it. But you can never understand Krishna fully. You can never figure it all out. It's not possible for the finite to understand the limits of the infinite. If you can understand that much, you're doing well. So, so this is what we have to do, is develop our faith and surrender to Krishna. We are also conscious, so we will enjoy, in the same way as Krishna, the five kinds of liberation. Four of them we can accept. Vaishnavas are offered the same planetary residence as Krishna, the same opulence as Krishna, same bodily features as Krishna, and the same, what else? What is there? Association of Krishna. Everything is there, and even your insignificant consciousness, but you get everything. You get Krishna. You get totally Krishna. He's so achintya, inconceivable, that you get 100% Krishna, even though he's also given 100% to a trillion, zillion, billion other souls. You know? How does he give everything to me and also at the same time give himself completely to others? Well, maybe you can't figure it out. That's the nature of the enjoyer in consciousness. All right. Are there any questions or comments? Yes. When the devotee goes back to Godhead, where does super soul go? Well, there's an old age home for nine. Where does super soul go? Living beings are constantly coming to this material world. So he gets another assignment. uh, sometimes like someone would ask, why is Krishna blue? And Prabhupada would say, well, why don't you ask him? I don't know where Super Soul goes. We know that there is no Super Soul in the spiritual world. He's only a manifestation here in the material world. We know that spiritual world, we know that Krishna expands himself into the material world. So maybe he can retract too. What happens to all the super souls when there's disillusion? When everything is wound up into the pradhana or into the body of Vishnu. That's the first time I've heard that question, so I really couldn't blame my answer on anybody else. What do you think? Okay. You had a question, yeah? I think that you can do both simultaneously. I think that there's no first of all, you should take responsibility to execute devotional service 24 hours a day, 365. In other words, you should always be engaged at every moment in devotional service. There's never a point where, you know, well, we finished this job, so we get a little holiday or something, you know. Nothing like that. So you continue doing some particular devotional service until it's no longer appropriate for you to do that service and you go on to some other service. At the same time, whatever results come, you can see that as Krishna's arrangement. The devotee of the Lord sees, what is that verse? Everything, kritam vipakam yadvad, bhapur bir viditam namaste, evanukampam susamikshamana punjana evatma kritam vipakam. So the devotee sees that anything good result that comes of his work, he sees that as Krishna's mercy. And he sees any negative thing that happens, he sees that has happened because of my past karma, my past sinful activities. But more than either of those attitudes, the predominating attitude is one of total acceptance and total surrender to Krishna. So in the same way, I would say that you certainly have to take responsibility for every moment of your life. There's at no point can you, you know, say that during that period I was not responsible. It's your duty to engage in devotional service. And we know the nature of devotional service is that it is ever expanding. It doesn't diminish or deteriorate. Pure devotional service grows and grows. But at the same time, we can't claim that because we accepted the responsibility that there was no room for Krishna's arrangement or Krishna's mercy. We have to accept that I'm engaged in devotional service, even though I want to engage in devotional service, even if I want to execute my duty, if God doesn't give his sanction, I can't do it. We give that deference to Krishna. Now, it's like Krishna says that one who engages in my devotional service, Kaunteya Pratijanihi Name Bhakta Pranashiti, or what is that verse? Patijane Priyosine. What is that verse? Yes, Manmana Bhava Madhvato Majaji Mam Namaskuru Mame Vaishyasi Satyam Te Patijane Priyosine. Such a devotee will come to me, I promise you this. This is my promise. So Krishna makes this promise that you will come to him, but Krishna also has the right, he's not bound by any promise. He can break his promise if he wants. He never will, he never has, and he never will, but you can't bind him. Or as the Karma Mimamsa philosophers say, that you just work and your karma will determine the results, because the law of karma is inexorable. It's an axiomatic truth, the law of karma. You push against the wall this hard, and the wall pushes back that way. The equal and opposite reaction for everything. So you just work and you get the result. You don't have to bring God into it or anything. You just do your karma and get the fruit. But Krishna is Karmeshwar. Some people, like the Pope, a number of years back, created a panel of scientists. The Pope's panel of scientists, and there was a big picture in Time magazine of about 150 very distinguished looking physicists and chemists and biologists and whatever, all these, you know, scientists. I won't say more. They're not scientists. Scientists are actually very foolish people. And, you know, okay, they're very expert at being foolish, but give them credit. But the deepest truths in life are very simple. Ayurveda is a perfect system of medicine, and yet it simply takes into account the tridhatu, kapha, pitta, and vayu. It doesn't go looking through your body for a million different germs and pathogens, etc. It already understands how the body works and what adjustments are made on a very not superficial level, but on the level of energy, on the subtle plane. And so it works in that way. So scientists, they want to go deep and deep and deep and deep, and they spend their whole lives studying every little aspect of material nature, and they never understand what's happening in total, because they're so specialized. Not one person can have knowledge of all the different fields, so nobody can come to a perfect conclusion. So they're not that. So anyway, the Pope had this panel of all these brilliant scientists. Okay. And the Pope wanted to do a deal with them, right? Because it was too difficult to fight with them or something. So he made the statement that you know, the working of material nature, etc., we'll leave that up to the scientists. But the workings of the soul, etc., that's our domain. We'll give the instructions on that. So what it came down to was that God is the guy who gives everything the first push. But once he gets it rolling, then everything is governed by physical laws, which we scientists can tell you about. And once God pushes it, he's out of the picture, you know. I mean, he can't control it. Which is, you know, it's like a hellish kind of sellout compromise. It just belies or underscores the Vatican's ignorance of how super soul works in the material world. They have no concept of the deeper science of material nature and spiritual nature. So we know that super soul lost it. What were we talking about? Possibilities? Or responsibility? Okay. Yeah. Responsibility. Super soul didn't let me finish. So. Didn't get the sanction. It's really tricky when you sit up here sometimes. I can't get away from my personal energy is that I'm responsible. I don't want to blame anything on anybody else. And okay, Krishna's mercy is there, and that's all extra. It's my first and foremost is my duty to serve Krishna. If he wants to award love of Godhead to me, then you know, that's I'm successful. That's tremendous. But devotional service is so nice. Taking responsibility in Krishna consciousness is so sublime. I don't remember what happened to the last 30 years of my life. You know, and it could go on for another 30 years like this. I don't know. You know? Time just kind of stops. One day just merges into the next day. It's like, it's just, you meet another devotee after another, you get another opportunity to talk about Krishna, and it turns into another one and another. It just goes on and on, and I can't see any end to it. In this body or in the next. Is that making sense? I really like devotees to, I think this is a key point. Actually, I wanted to study a little more. I didn't get a chance, but I personally am going to stress this more and more in my preaching. We all have to take responsibility for our spiritual lives. We do need guidance from the Vaishnavas, from the spiritual master, from so many different sources. But nothing is as sure and certain as our own commitment to be a surrendered soul in devotional service. Everything else in this world is our perception of it. It's sort of in our circle of concern. We've been through this before, right? Circle of influence and circle of concern. You all know that? Huh? Can I, everybody know circle of influence, circle of concern? Yeah. So, the only real thing that you can influence is your own commitment to Krishna consciousness. Everything else is valuable while it's there. And that's an interesting statement. I won't take it farther in terms of recent developments, but I do feel it's true. Everything is valuable while it's there, but everything is changing all around you. You're coming in contact and going out of contact with so many people and so many things. Your journey is moving on and on. You're looking for Krishna. And the only thing you really have influence over is yourself and your commitment and your surrender. You have to take responsibility and deal with yourself. So, good luck, fellow travelers. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai.